Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Chul, and it is a privilege and an honor to be here with you. We're coming towards the end of the first Adar and about to enter the second Adar. And we just started March, and lots happening. And we're in a time that Torah tells us, Judaism teaches us, is a time of joy, that once Adar enters, you're in joy. And now that we're almost finished 1 month of Adar, how much more so we should be growing in our joy and making an active effort to find it. And joy is a topic that's been spoken a lot. And today I want to explore similar themes, not necessarily joy. And we started really exploring it by the song you listened to just a moment ago, unless you just turned in the second. But in general, I'm very selective with the songs we choose for the show. Specifically in the show, I make an effort to try to choose songs that will resonate with the themes I want to explore. Sometimes Hebrew, but very often English songs as well. And that song that you listened to that we have played before on the show is Neshamala. And it's, in short, if you've been following the song, you would pick it up. But otherwise, I think it's worth repeating. It's a song about the story of the soul, how the soul, before it's born, doesn't want to come down here. And it's having a conversation with the angel. And the angel says, don't worry, go down there. That's your purpose. And he's like, he's scared. I'm comfortable in heaven. And then the soul gets to see people down below that are doing acts of goodness and kindness, mitzvot. They're connecting with their soul. They're connecting with their God. And he's like, oh, that seems pretty cool. Can you promise me that I'll be one of those good people? And the angel kind of demurs, doesn't actually say so, because there's no promise. Each person has their free choice. And then he comes down in this world, etc., plays his part. And then towards the end of, at the end of this individual's life, the angel comes back to collect the soul. And the soul's again saying, I don't want to go. Will you take me? I'm familiar. I'm comfortable here. And he's like, you've played your part. You've earned a place right by the throne. It's time to finish your purpose. So that's the end of the song, which is kind of heavy. And that's not really what I want to focus on. But it's the beginning of the song, that idea that coming down to this world for a purpose. In general, as an aside, often when I go to a house of mourning, a shiva house, we talk about life after death. I kind of find it fascinating that often people don't talk about life before birth. Life after death raises lots of questions, like where did my loved one go? But the truth is the same question is you just had a baby, you had a child, you had a grandchild, you had a nephew, a niece, a relative born. Where did they come from? But just 9 months of being in the mother's womb and suddenly you have a human being. That's it. The spirit just came out of nothing. Where was that energy? That energy that's sitting in the eyes of that beautiful child you're looking at. Where was it a minute ago? Where was it a year ago? So the question of afterlife is just, it's important to highlight. It's not only a question of afterlife, it's a question of before life. Fundamentally, it is, the question is, what is there beyond our physical reality? That's the fundamental question that needs to gnaw at our conscious all the time. Because the moment the person forgets that there's something beyond this reality, the moment the person thinks that this is all there is, then that naturally will evolve into materialism, right? If this is all there is, then it's eat, sleep, party, for tomorrow we die. And although most people, when you push them to the wall and you ask them, do you believe in the afterlife? Do you believe in a before life? Do you believe in a God? Do you believe in a divinity? Do you believe in spiritual dimension? Do you believe that there's something beyond the reality you see? Most people will say yes. But how many of us are conscious about it all day, every day? Because the real challenge of faith and the real challenge of awareness is not to believe, because often that's a one-time statement. The person makes a choice and says, okay, I'm not an atheist, I'm a believer. Mazel tov, great. You're not an atheist, you're a believer. We're so glad. But practically, how does that affect my day-to-day life? Very little. Because it was a one-time decision that says, I'm not in the agnostic or atheist camp, I'm in the believer camp. But it's not a one-time decision. It's a constant decision. It's not a decision of what I believe, but it's a decision of what I prioritize, a decision of what I'm aware of. And that is a very difficult one, because that means every single day, to create mindfulness, to plug back in. And the truth is, when you think of it, so much of our rituals and our tradition in Judaism is about reminding awareness, right? You're about to have a cup of water, and you suddenly say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are your God, master of the universe, that created everything in his word. After you drink the cup of water, you make another blessing, right? God creates many souls, Baruch Atah Hashem. You put on tefillin in the morning, Shabbos candles on Friday night. Every piece of food that you eat is your conscious, as we said, blessings. A person goes to the bathroom and they're making a blessing. A person prays three times a day. A person studies Torah. All that fundamentally is about creating awareness, because the person already believes, but believing enough is believing on its own is very minimal. It doesn't really transform your life. It's conscious believing that transforms your life. It's faith that actually permeates daily. The kind of God that not only do I think about when I'm having a theological conversation, it's the kind of God that I'm talking to and engaging and being mindful of all the time. That's the kind of God that we are looking for, and that's the kind of God that we should be constantly working on our awareness, because it's not easy. This human body that we have will, by default, make us forget. That's the madness of living as a soul in a body, is that you could totally forget. You could totally forget where you come from. You could totally forget who you are. But if you choose to plug in constantly, then your soul awakens and you become mindful that you're not just a body that has a soul, you're a soul that has a body. In other words, that the main feature about you is transcended. The main feature about you is godly. And it's on that note that this next song that we chose, Lecha Dodi, it's a story about a person who was lost to Jewish history for generations, right? Many, many generations, grew up in a very un-Jewish environment, but then has a moment where his soul awakens.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson. It's a privilege and an opportunity to always be here with you on Tuesdays and have this show where we talk about topics that are on the minds. And fundamentally, before the show, before this song, we were talking about how each and every one of us is a soul in a body, or rather a body that has a soul, and that it's the goal, so much of our religion, so much of our observance is to create heightened awareness, not heightened stress, but heightened awareness, to live with an awareness, because a lot of us right now are living in very heightened awareness of antisemitism, of pain, of struggle, of the pain of Jewish history, etc. So a lot of us are dealing with that. But what we struggle with in this is not only to live with heightened awareness of the reality, but rather to live with heightened awareness of the remedy. And the remedy, at least when it comes to ourselves, the truth is when it comes to the entire reality, is to live with faith. When things are hard, that's the time specifically to dig in and rediscover our faith. And it's fascinating how many people currently I've heard are taking, for example, classes in the classic book of Jewish theology, philosophy called Shaar HaBitachon, The Gate of Trust, which is part of a larger book, but a specific section, The Gate of Trust. Many people have tapped in and said, okay, we need to become aware of our faith. We need to actually understand what I believe in. I need to believe that life is not random. Because fundamentally, what is stress? When someone's living a stressed out life, what are they declaring? What they're declaring is, I didn't expect life to be like this. This is too hard. I don't know how this is going to play out. I'm stressed, right? Imagine you knew that everything would work out okay. You wouldn't be stressed, right? I'll give you an example. Let's say you have an event planner who's done 1,000 weddings already. If they're a half-decent event planner, they're not stressed out, right? I've been to many weddings, Baruch Hashem, and you always see the event planner. They're often the least stressed person. Some event planners are quite stressful, but many of them are relaxed. Why? Because they've done this. They know how this will play out. They've seen the best. They've seen the worst. They've seen it. They've dealt with various dynamics. They're calm. Who's usually the biggest stressful? The parent of the person getting married, a relative, the person that gets getting married themselves, they're stressing out. Why? Because this is the first or second time they're arranging a wedding. They have no idea what they're doing. It's so stressful, right? I've met many couples getting married. And each time, gosh, Rabbi, it's so many logistics. Now, objectively, getting married is not that logistical. It has logistics, but it's not comparative to the overwhelmingness. But yet it is. Why? Because if it's the first time you're doing it, it's overwhelming. Just like the first time you got into a car to drive was exciting, but it was also overwhelming. When a baby's learning to walk, right? The first steps are very overwhelming. Eventually, you get used to it. So the point is, the moment you've been through something many times, the moment you know that things will be okay, because you've seen how it ends, the stress level goes down. Right? I cannot say, like as a rabbi that gets up and has to talk quite often, I cannot say that I'm equally stressed now, years into giving speeches, than I was at the beginning. Now, yes, sometimes my speeches do bomb. Sometimes my radio shows are very average. I try my best, but, you know, it happens. But fundamentally, I've seen how it ends up well. I've seen how it doesn't end up well. So I'm feeling calmer. The point is, stress often comes from not knowing how this ends, from just feeling like this is, I can't navigate this. But imagine you believe in God. Not you just believe, not like you declare, oh, I believe in Hashem, ani ma'amin. But it's a real belief. It's the kind of belief that permeates you. It's a faith that's, in general, I like the word faith more than belief. I don't know, just my own mishigas. Like, imagine, I always say, imagine someone says, tell me, do you love your child? And you say, I believe so. That doesn't exactly sound great. Oh, wow, you're marrying her. That's fantastic. Do you think that she's right for you? I believe so. Imagine someone said that. You would be like, ish, I'm not sure you should be going ahead with this shidduch. We should try to go for somebody who you feel and know is right for you, not someone that you believe. So the word believe, at least the way it's used in the English language, I don't know, doesn't make me feel great because it's doesn't really imply certainty. It implies like this ambivalence. Yeah, kind of. I believe she's a nice person, but you never know. But let's use the word faith. Let's use the word trust. So when a person's living with incredible faith and trust, and it's saturates their consciousness, then they could go through anything and stand strong. One of the people who I have who comes to my shiurim and I have a bit of a relationship with gifted me with a book of stories of the Holocaust, the children of the Holocaust, children who survived, story of nine different children. It's a book written by Hanoch Teller, and fascinating. I mean, obviously, I've read Holocaust stories before, but it was fascinating to read young kids, each one of them whose childhood or adolescence was robbed, and yet never lost their faith. And their faith became a cornerstone of their identity. I've shared before about my own ancestors, my own grandparents, each one of them that went through during the years of communism and during the years of World War II, they went through really, really rough times. And specifically one set of grandparents, my maternal grandparents, even after the war, when they lost everything, they then got stuck behind the Iron Curtain because they had escaped during the war to the Far East in Russia, to Uzbekistan, Samarkand, Tashkent, etc. And they couldn't get out. And they got stuck behind the Iron Curtain for another 20 years. So basically, they were born into Soviet Russia. They were born just before World War I. And for the first 45, 50 years of their life, they never lived a day of freedom. The first day of freedom they ever lived, at least the way we define freedom, was when they arrived in Israel in 1966. But remember, they were both born in the 1910s. So that was 50 years of not a day of lack of fear, right? There was always something to be afraid of. The communists will come and take your kids away. How are you going to make a living? Will there be food on the breadline? Starvation, the whole shebang. And yet their faith was so palpable. And the biggest proof is they had 13 children. Every single one of them continued the faith. Their grandchildren, every single one of them continued the faith. And by last I counted, my grandparents have over 1,000 living descendants. And I'm talking blood relatives, not including our spouses, who are holding the faith. So challenges is not the undoing of faith. It's often the updoing. It's often the making of faith, because that's when you're pushed to the wall to ask yourself a simple question. Do I actually believe? What do I believe? What do I have faith in? What does God mean to me? Is God just a nice thing to reach out to and say a chapter to him? Or do I really believe that life is godly design? That even when things are absolutely horrible, in our perception, it's coming from God. Do I believe that? Do I know that? And this is not, it's not a radio show. It's not, you know, just a cute cheer. It's not a cute talk. It's not a cute motivational meme that you get on your WhatsApp. This is work, huge, huge amount of work for each and every one of us to work and say, what do I actually have faith in? What does Hashem really mean? Do I really believe that I was sent into this world, a soul and a body, and that my life's destiny is designed by God, and it's just my job to make the right choices, but the circumstances of my life were given to me by God? Do I really, really internalize that? And if I internalized it yesterday, did I re-internalize it again today? Because yesterday's work does not work for today. Just like yesterday's exercise doesn't help, just like yesterday's sleep doesn't help, just like yesterday's food doesn't help, just like yesterday's social life doesn't help. Every day I need to maintain myself, right? Eating once a week doesn't work. Sleeping once a week doesn't work. So why does faith once a week work? It's nice. It's better than nothing. But better than nothing is not good enough, is it? And I'm not talking from a religious perspective. I'm not talking about like a rabbi that's preaching and telling people you need to come to Shul more. No, I'm saying good enough for our own sanity. Is it enough to maintain our faith? Will it give us enough petrol, diesel in our engine to keep on holding our clarity of thought? Because it's so easy to veer off course. It's so easy. It's so easy to be affected. You know, just think about it. Even those amongst us who, let's say, put on film every day or pray every day, compared to the amount of social media we watch, compared to the amount of Netflix that people are watching, compared to the amount of secular ideas that we're bringing into our brain, it's still minuscule. So we're being bombarded by so many narratives that are not necessarily assisting our faith. So is it a surprise that the faith takes a back seat? No, it's not a surprise at all. It's by default. Every single day, we have to reconnect. And as mentioned earlier in the show, the whole structure of the Jewish day is based on creating awareness. From the first moment of the day where you say, Moda Ani, thank you, God, to the last moment of your day where you're making the blessing for sleep. Literally, there's a blessing on sleep. Hamato, Chedle Shena. There's a blessing on sleep. And there's a blessing on going to the bathroom. And there's a blessing on food. And there's multiple blessings in davening. And there's a blessing on smell. And there's a blessing on lightning. And there's a blessing on thunder. And there's a blessing on a rainbow. What is it? Hashem needs our compliments all the time? No, we need awareness all day, every day. You had a journey, you flew on a plane, and you landed safely, you flew over an ocean, well, go make the blessing HaGomel. You're traveling on a journey, say Tfilat HaDerech, the prayer for the travels. Constant, constant, constant awareness to never take anything for granted. Your lunch, your breakfast. Truth is, I wonder if the rabbis were instituting blessings in today's day and age, if they would make a blessing on computers, because gosh, how much time we spend on it, or a blessing on a phone. But in all seriousness, we need that awareness. We need to constantly plug in and remind ourselves where we're coming from, where we're going, and what's our purpose in this world, and not lose it, not forget it. It's so, so easy to forget where we came from. And that's why it's always important to hold on to our dream, to hold on to our identity, and to hold on to the future. As this song, Dreams Come True, brings out beautifully. 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the 101.9 Chai FM. This is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and today we are talking about transcending the physical, transcending the stress. And really where we're heading to is just living a life of joy. Maybe the word joy sounds a bit much, so let's call it serenity. Menucha. Spoke about it in the previous weeks. To be able to live a life of inner peace, quiet. Right? You know those people that you hang around them and you just feel calm in their presence. They don't say anything. They don't have to say anything. Just their presence oozes calmness. And then there's the kind of people that you walk in and they don't have to say anything, but their anxiety is screaming volumes. And it's like this stress, right? And when you're in their presence, you feel that contagion. And suddenly you're not even sure what you're stressed about, but you're stressed about their stress, etc. And I would encourage us all to try to become those kinds of people. I know it's hard. To become those kinds of people that at least most of the time, none of us are perfect. None of us are serene all day, every day. That's pretty much impossible. We all have moments that stress us out. That's okay. I mean, whatever, it's human. But to have more moments in our day that we're serene, that we shouldn't just be, the synonym about us shouldn't be, oh, her, oh, him, whoo, they're stressed. The synonym should be, wow, there's such a calmness about them. And I believe it's not only a personality, some people are calmer than others. I believe it's a consciousness. We could become calmer people. We don't, just because we were born with an anxious personality, just because we naturally get frazzled, we don't have to stay that way, or at least we don't have to be that all the time. It's unbearable, right? To be able to work on our faith, work on our knowledge that Hashem runs the world, and to then just be able to live with this attitude of Gamzula Tava, it's all for the good. Everything's okay. It's okay. I don't know what's going to happen. And if I go, and if I let my mind wander, it could get scary thoughts. But I'm not letting my mind wander. I'm focusing. I'm staying centered. I'm choosing to live a life of serenity. I'm choosing to have a home that when people walk into it, they feel calm. That's what we should be aspiring for. Our homes should be havens. Not stress machines. Right? All too often, nobody wants to be home. Our kids don't want to get home till like it's 8, 9 at night with all their extra stuff that's going on. He wants to stay at work. She wants to stay where what she's doing, and et cetera. Everyone's running away. But home should be the place we want to come to. Home should be a safety net. Home should be home. And I believe one of the greatest challenges of our time is the fact that many of our homes are not safe havens. They're stressful. They're full of fighting. They're full of anxiety. They're full of distraction. They're cold. And what makes a home warm, yes, architecture and interior design plays some role. But fundamentally, what makes a home warm is us. Inhabitants of the home and our way of navigating this world, our energy to make the place pleasant, to make it comfortable so that people, whether family or guests, come in and they just feel safe. Because in this world, we need those places of safety. And I'm not talking about in a psychological way, I'm talking a spiritual way. A spiritual safety, you just feel like this place is anchored. This home has values. This marriage has values. This parenting model has values. Things in this home don't run based on whim. It's not random. There's a structure, not a rigid structure, but a structure of values that undergird this home, that undergird this space. And the truth is, in our communities as well, right? I'm a rabbi of a shul, and I believe that's one of my main responsibilities, to create an environment, or not create because no one person could create, but help facilitate, together with the community, an environment that's safe, that's spiritually serene, that's uplifting, It's hard because there's a lot of different characters at play, and some people are not serene characters, and some people will either willingly or unwillingly bring their stress into an environment. But then it just makes the job harder to be able to negate that, to be able to manage that and still keep an environment holy, beautiful, loving. Our kids, when they come and they see our marriages, should feel safe. And mom and dad love each other. They should feel safe in our love for them. They should never doubt it. But the first thing when I ask a child, I should say about, tell me what your parents think of you. It shouldn't be my mom or dad want me to become a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant, but rather they love me. And they want me to grow up to be a person of values. That's what matters. Fundamentally, that's what matters. Everything else is external. Everything else is a very far second. It's important, but it's not nearly as important. Or it's about, especially as we talk now in the month of Adar, in the month of joy, it's about making joyous homes. It's about making joyous hearts. It's about making joyous consciousness around us, that we should be living in a world, in our inner world. In other words, not the world outside. The world outside can feel scary. But our inner world, our perspective of the world should be a perspective of serenity. Our perspective should be a perspective of peace. Our perspective should be one that says freedom. Right? We're getting closer to Pesach. 7 weeks away from yesterday. Did you see the prices? No, I didn't, but they will be expensive. Whatever. Anyways, Pesach is coming. What's the theme of Pesach? Freedom. It follows right after the theme of Adar, joy. You can only be free if you're joy. You can only have joy if you're free. In other words, once you let go, once you just, the expression, I know it's cliche, let go and let God, it's true. Stop holding the world on your shoulders. God doesn't ask us to carry the stress of all of humanity on our shoulders. Very few people can do that. And most of us cannot. We can carry what we could carry, and the rest we have to just put on Hashem, realize there's a creator that runs this world, and then to dig deep and rediscover and never lose our faith. Because that's what we are. We are our faith. We are our past, our future, our history, and we are much greater than just this moment. And we have much more divine spiritual power than we often think of. Right? We often think of ourselves as merely human, but just a body, as just a psychological makeup. It's so much bigger than that. One of the great challenges of our time is to never forget that. To not listen to the narratives without that tell us that we're not good enough, but much more importantly, to not listen to the narratives within. The greatest enemy is not the person who's knocking and screaming anti-Semitic slurs, although that is an enemy. The greatest enemy for our own serenity is our own mind, when we let it wander, when we let it go to places it doesn't need to go. So let's dig deep. Let's find serenity. Let's find joy. Let's hold on to where we come from, and let's remember that we have reservoirs within us that give us so much power. We are so much stronger than we ever imagined. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Abtson. Have a great day.